discussing the importance of being Nisanig al Hashem. The Mesillas John said that a person was only created and only came into this world for one reason. Their pleasure. Nisanig al Hashem. So I mentioned in passing that without understanding how to do that properly, a person is doomed to wasting his life, essentially. The person is only created for one reason, and that's to have pleasure. He doesn't have proper pleasure, so it's a bit of a mess. So somebody, I don't know whether this is an anonymous sponsorship or not, but until I know for sure that it's not, I'm going to maintain an anonymous sponsorship here. Somebody came and said they want to sponsor the breakfast shiur, if I'll give a shiur on the five levels of pleasure. So once I was bullied into it, I said I would. So that's the good news. The good news is I'm not giving the shiur. Yesterday, the day before yesterday, I got a phone call from one of our first most beloved Talmidim, who learned in the yeshiva for many, many years. He grew and developed, and eventually went off to South Africa, where he's now very involved. He's the director of what? Death in Eishet Torah in South Africa. And he's involved there in Avotas HaTorah and being Makariv people. And I said to him, listen, Shlomo, you're more qualified to give the shiur than I am. So you're going to be in Beit Shemesh anyway, so come and give the breakfast shiur. That way I get to have breakfast. And you get to give the shiur. And the audience benefits from that, having you rather than me. And we'll speak afterwards. So that's what's happening. Maybe afterwards you'll give us a little bit of a word about what you do there. And what you're involved in. Leonora, they have a beautiful family, him and his Rebbetzin, and seeing the fruits and the labor of his work, many of his Talmidim have come to us, and it's a big mignachas and a big schus to have giving the shiur this morning, Rav Shlomo Kofel. You can stand, sit, dance, whatever you want. Just don't do the Kawasaki joke, that's all.
Earlier this week. Morning, everybody. Thank you for having me. It's a big schuss. When Rabbi Asher asked me, I was in 2 months. It was just about 24 hours ago, maybe. He said to ask me to come and speak. But the five levels of pleasure was a shiur that when I was when Eishet Torah was makariv of me a little bit. That was like the foundations, and the foundations of everything in Judaism was that Judaism is about pleasure. I'll just start off by telling you a story. One of the students that came to learn, he actually started learning at Osamach about 2.5 weeks ago. He arrived in Yerushalayim, and he came to learn here, and he's very happy that he made the decision, and he's here, and I met with him yesterday, and he said to me, there's one thing he doesn't understand about Kiruv. He said to me, why do you have to sugarcoat things? Because in the Kiruv world today, in the outreach world today, if you're not entertaining, if you're not showing them a good time, if you're not feeding them, if you're not paying them, if you're not doing things that are going to really get them to come, so then they're not going to come. And he said he was bothered by it, because he was bothered by the fact that why can't you just be straight? It's supposed to be beautiful. It's supposed to be gold. It's supposed to be something which is precious. And so why can't you just show it to them, and they should just come? Why do you have to come and have to pay them to come and give them good food and breakfast shoes? Even in the Beis Midrash over here, we have to have bagels and everything to get people to come. He couldn't understand it. So I think, you know, this is the yesod is that we're in this world for pleasure. And Rav Noach Weinberg Zatzal, the late Rosh Yeshiva, he developed this class. He developed the ideas of this class, and that is that there's different levels. There's different levels of pleasure, and everyone can appreciate the fact that if you want to understand something deeper, if you want to appreciate a pleasure on a deeper level, so that takes being what he used to call a connoisseur. You have to be a connoisseur, right? If for the first time a person tastes wine, if you taste a cup of wine, you want to spit it out. I mean, even though people do that when they taste wine, but that's not the reason they do it. You want to spit it out because it's like it tastes terrible. I like whiskey. I'm not such a big wine drinker. I like a good whiskey. But I remember the first time I tasted whiskey, it was like, it was something which was, you didn't like it. But then as you get to taste it a few more times and you get to appreciate it and you get to understand it, so then you can really appreciate it and enjoy a good whiskey or a good glass of wine. So I think that's the idea, that there's different levels. You have to start on the low level. So maybe bagels and rugelach is the beginning stage of that, right? And in reality, the first level of the five levels of pleasure is what we call physical pleasure. It's the physical pleasure that a person gets, and that was also put into this world. And Hashem put it into this world for us to appreciate. You know, when I teach this class to students who have no shaykhus whatsoever to the concept of God, and if you mention God, then you've lost them. If you mention the word God in the Shia, then you totally, you may as well just stop talking and go out, right? So when I teach students for the first time the five levels of pleasure, you know, I don't mention God. I ask them, I say, I want to show you that you can see the purpose of a human being. You can find the purpose of a human being without getting religious. You don't even have to get religious. You don't have to talk God. You can see the purpose of a human being because if you say to someone, what is the purpose of a watch? You look at a watch and you can see that it's there to tell time. If you're an alien from another country, from another planet somewhere, and you came down and you saw a watch, okay, maybe you'd need to do a few experiments, but with a few experiments you'll find out that a watch is there to tell the time. So I always tell them, your person can see from the object itself. You can see from the object itself what it's here to do. So I say, look at a human being. What is a human being doing all day? What are we doing? What do we do every single day of our life? Just by looking at the person, at a human being, as a Jew, what are we doing all day long? If you think about it, it makes perfectly logical sense that all we do is actually seek pleasure. We're pleasure seekers. That's what human beings do. That's what we do. You look at a human being, that's what a human being does. Every decision, every choice we make, everything you make, it's what's best for me. Is this going to be good for me? Is that going to be good for me? If I eat the bagel now, I'm going to regret it later on because I'm putting on weight. Or should I eat it because it's pleasurable right now? Or maybe shouldn't I eat it? Or should I eat less? Or what's best for me? Every thought, all the thoughts that are going through our head, that's all about what's best for me. What's going to be best for me? Who should I marry? Where should I learn? Should I be learning? Should I be working? How am I going to make a parnasa? Everything. If you just look at a human being, that a human being is a pleasure seeker. You don't even have to get religious. You don't have to even come unto Hashem at this stage of the game. Of course, you have to come unto that in the end. But in the beginning, the first stage, you have to realize that we're here to get pleasure, and we're getting pleasure. And the first level pleasure, when we bring Hashem into it, is physical pleasure. Physical pleasure is the rugelach, the bagels, everything that the body can appreciate. Good music, what we hear, good smells, what we smell, good tastes, good things that feel nice. You can rub your hand on something and enjoy it. You know, it's nice, it's enjoyable. And Hashem gave that to us. He's given that to us. So one shouldn't look like the non-Jewish world. When the non-Jewish world looks at the physical, it's looked at as like a negative thing. The physical world is negative. Stay away from the physical world. We as Jews, we say no ways. The physical world is, Hashem gave us the physical world to enjoy. If you don't enjoy it, so then what are you doing here? You gotta be a connoisseur. You gotta know how to enjoy it. So Rav Noach, he said that there's certain rules. You gotta know that there's foundation rules to the five levels of pleasure. So like, just to lay down a few of the rules. The number one rule is that in order to get the best pleasure out of the physical pleasure and out of all the pleasures, this is true throughout all the pleasures, right, is that you have to be a connoisseur. You have to be a connoisseur. You have to know how to enjoy it in the right way. And for every pleasure that there is, there's something called a counterfeit pleasure. There's something which looks like the pleasure, but it's not really the pleasure. It's a Yetzer Hara in some level. The Yetzer Hara, it looks like you're getting the pleasure, but you're not really getting the pleasure. So for every level of pleasure, there's a counterfeit to it, which looks similar to it, but it's not really it. And we have to know what that is. The other thing he says is that you always have to focus. You have to focus on the pleasure as opposed to the effort that's involved in the pleasure. And he gives a beautiful mashal. He says that if a person's, I just use, if a person's playing basketball, or there's a team of guys, young students playing basketball, and they're playing basketball, and the Rebbe comes to them and says to them, throw me the ball. So they throw him the ball, he's got the ball, so he says, now play the game without the ball. Pretend that there's no ball. So he goes running around, so they say, okay, Rebbe, we'll try. So for 2 minutes they're running around, they're pretending to throw the ball, but there's no real ball. After 2 minutes they say, Rebbe, give back the ball, we need the ball back. Why is that? Because then there's no ball, when there's no real ball, so then all they're focusing on is the effort that's involved and not the actual pleasure. So if a person focuses on the ball, if he throws back the ball, they'll play for 2 hours. And they won't even notice the effort because they're having such fun with the ball. You focus on the pleasure, then you won't even notice the effort that's involved. That's one of the rules. And the other one, he always asks this question, he throws it out there, maybe I'll throw it out there. What is the opposite of pleasure? Who can tell me? If you're from Eisha Torah, you'll know the answer. But if you've never been to Eisha Torah, normally, maybe I'll just answer it, what people normally say, what's the opposite of pleasure? Pain. And they say pain, right? The opposite of pleasure is pain, which we all know is not true. It's not true. The opposite of pleasure is definitely not pain. The opposite of pleasure is comfort. The opposite of pleasure is no pleasure, maybe. Is no pleasure, but pain is definitely not the opposite of pleasure. In actual fact, pain is a means to getting the pleasure. Or effort, pain. You can switch those words a little bit or whatever it is. The more pain that a person goes, the more pain there is, the more the reward, the greater the reward there is. No pain, no gain. Pain is a means, it's something which you need in order to be able to achieve the greatest pleasure. The more pain you put in, the more mysterious nefesh you put in, the more effort you put in, the greater the rewards will be, the greater the pleasure will be. So we know the lowest level pleasure, which is physical pleasure, you'll see that requires the least amount of effort. To eat a nice bagel that was sponsored by an anonymous sponsor, right, didn't have to do very much. Just had to wash, and enjoy a beautiful bagel sitting over here. There's not much effort that goes into that. A little bit of benching afterwards, maybe. So that's the lowest level of pleasure. So what's the counterfeit? What's the counterfeit to physical pleasure? The counterfeit, the thing which sometimes it looks like the pleasure is when a person goes out to go and have a nice meal. You go to a meat restaurant, you want to have a steak, if that's what you enjoy. What I enjoy, I come from South Africa, so I'll speak about what I enjoy. So a good steak, you go out to the steak restaurant, it costs quite a bit, not so much in South Africa. Over there, you know, $2 is a million rand. But basically, we sit down and eat a steak, and then the waiter comes and he says, did you enjoy your steak? I say, yeah, I enjoyed my steak. He says, well, we've got a special on today. If you have another steak, it's for half price. So I say, okay, bring it on, another 500 gram steak. So he brings it on and we eat another steak. And then he comes back and he says, do you know, if you have a third steak, we're going to give it to you a quarter of the price. So you come for a third steak. So it's like, okay, well, it's a quarter of the price. Very difficult to not take it. So we take it, we eat a third steak. Now we bloated, we full, whatever. He comes and he says, if you have a fourth steak, you can have it for free. You're already like, no, thanks. So the counterfeit to physical pleasure is too much physical pleasure. It's too much in one go. If you have steak every night for dinner, you'll stop appreciating. When I came here today, I was standing with Alon, we were just schmoozing and we were talking. Alon was my chavrusa back in the day, you know, by Jacobson's shir. We were schmoozing and I said, gee, I haven't been to Eretz Yisrael for four years. And it's amazing, it's so beautiful, I'm nostalgic, I wish I could come back. I know that I have to be where I am, and it's not a shaila for me to be here, but I said to him, I wish it was a shaila, because I wish I could be back in Eretz Yisrael, I wish it was a shaila. It's not a shaila at this point in time, but please God, Mashiach will be here soon, and we'll be back. He said to me, yeah, he wishes he could feel what I'm feeling. You know, that feeling, he takes it for granted. He's been living here all these years and whatever it is. That on some level is this idea. When you're into something a lot, so then you don't really, it's hard to appreciate it. But when I haven't been here for a long time, and then I come back, so it's like it's a whole new world. I also lived in Eretz Yisrael, and when I remember that feeling that you didn't really feel it, but now I feel it because you go away from it. So how do you be a connoisseur of physical pleasure? The way you be a connoisseur of physical pleasure is by separating from it and not having too much of it and having less of it, so that when you have it, you appreciate it much more. That's how to teach yourself to be a connoisseur of physical pleasure. So that's physical pleasure. There's one more rule in the five levels of pleasure. How much time do I have, Rabbi?
3 hours. Your time's up. You're in injury time already. Okay.
So the one more rule is that there is no amount of a lower level pleasure that a person would exchange for a higher level pleasure. For the pleasure, the next pleasure that goes up, you'll never ever exchange any amount of physical pleasure for the next level up. And if you would, then you haven't chapped the next pleasure. It can't be. It's impossible. The two don't go together. One moment of the next level pleasure, you wouldn't take any amount of rogelach or bagels or money or anything that money can buy, to switch for that next level up. And it's very important to know that, because that's a fundamental in these things as we move up through the levels. Of course, we separating all the levels, but all the levels are connected, and of course they're all intertwined. And it's been this year, I'm saying it over in a simple way, but I'm still confused by it. I still don't have 100% clarity in the five levels of pleasure, because everything's really intertwined and connected. We're separating them now and going through them as separate pieces, but really they're all put together, they're all one. I think you have to be able to put them together on some level, and there's still parts of it that are still not 100% clear to me. But anyway, as much as what is clearer to me, I will give over to you. Rav Nach had another class called Know What You Know. You have to know what you know, and at least I can tell you what I know, and you've got to know what you don't know. And what I don't know, I don't know. What can I say? That's the reality. So the next level up, so to move on, the next level up, which goes above the physical world, is the level of love. Love, which is that word that's abused and out there in the world, and people don't really know what it is and what does it mean and what does it mean to love. And if you look at the world that we're living in today, out there in the big wide world, the divorce rate is so humongously big. Even in the Frum world, it's rising, and it's getting bigger. And the stomach, the reason is because the shtetl walls have come down, and the outside non-Jewish world is coming into our world, and the ideas of their world are coming into our world. And even from a Yidden that are out there are getting influenced by that outside world, and it's influencing their thinking. And I know that, and I cherish it. There's a sefer that I cherish that was introduced to me by Rabbi Sher, and I learn it now with multiple people all the time, and I learned it in a chabura with Rabbi Sher, and that's Bais Yehudi by Rabbi Taba, Shalom Bais, and what it means to be a Jew, and what it means a Jewish marriage, and what it means a Jewish home, and what it means true love. And Rav Nach always spoke about it as well very much. He has a whole class on love, and I'm not going to do the whole class, but Rav Nach's definition of the word love was that he used to ask the question, how can you be commanded to love? If it's an emotion, how can you be commanded to love? You either love or you don't love. So he said, no, you can be commanded the actions. There's an action, the actions that a person has to do, and when you do those actions, then you'll get the emotion. But you have to do the actions. So he says that love, the definition of love, is to focus on the virtues of another person and to identify that person by those virtues. And when you do that, then the emotion of love will come. That's what you have to do. You have to focus on people's virtues and identify the person by those virtues. And a person's virtues essentially is their neshama. There's no neshama that's not beautiful and precious in the world. You have to get to know people. The more you know, Rav Taube says in one of his svarim, in the Munam B'Takon svarim, he says, the more you know, it's from the Rambam, the more you know, the more you love. So it comes from knowing someone. The more you know, the more you love. And the more you love, the happier you will be. He talks about simcha. It moves to another level. Because clarity is simcha. That's where simcha comes from. You have clarity when you have simcha. So love. So of course there's different different relationships. Everyone's got different relationships. There's spousal relationships, there's mother-father relationships, there's siblings, friends, chavrusas, whatever it is. But in the end of the day, if you get to the root of it, the aspect of love, the more you give, the more you love. That's Rav Dessler. He speaks about that. The more you give, the more you love. Ahava's got the word hav in it, which means to give and to love. So that's true in all relationships. Doesn't matter if it's a chavrusa, if it's a spouse. Of course, every relationship has a different dynamic and different aspect. But love always remains the same. It's the same definition. It never changes. It's a solid definition. In the world out there, when you ask students in outreach and you ask them, you know, what is the definition of love? And you put out a paper and you say, write down your definition of love. Everyone will give a different definition. And it's not true. That's what's sad. That's what's sad. There's only real one definition. The more you give, the more you love. The more you focus on a person's virtues and identify that person by those virtues, so the more you'll love, right? And then there's the dynamics of every relationship is different. So just to leave it at that, right? So there's no amount of physical pleasure that you would give up for one moment of love. And Rav Nach always used to use the parable, you know, if someone came to you and said to you, you know, if you have children, and said to you, I'll give you $50 million to give me your child. I'll take care of him. You'll never see him in your life again. I'll take care of him. He'll be safe. He'll be good and I'll take him away from you. $50 million. $50 billion. Would you do it? So if you would, then you don't know what real love is, because there's no way any parent, I think anyone who's a parent will understand that would never give up their child for any amount of money. That's what true love is. There's another parable that he speaks about. He says if someone comes to a pregnant lady and says to her, are you going to love your child? And she says, of course I'm going to love her. What kind of a question is that? Of course I'm going to love my child. He said, but you don't know her. You don't know the child. Maybe he'll be a brat. Maybe he'll grow up to be a criminal. Who knows what he's going to be? How do you know you're going to love him? How do you know? Because there's a commitment. There's an aspect of commitment, a natural commitment. A parent is committed, and it's an unconditional giving. Because when you get what a parent gives to a child is unconditional. A child could never ever give back to a parent what the parent gives to the child. And that's how we know that a parent always loves you more than you love them. That's a fact. The parent will always love the child more than the child could ever love the parent. Why? Because the parent has given more to the child. And that's what we can always say, that Hashem loves us the most. That's what we always tell our children. That's what Rav Nach always used to tell his children. He said that, you know, I love you so much. It's unbelievable. But who loves you the most? Hashem loves you the most, because he gives the most. That's the giving. That's the love. So that's the level of love, right? That's the level of love. And what's the next level up? So we'll speak about the next level. The next level goes beyond love, right? Can you imagine a higher level? You know, most of the world that we live in live on these two lowest levels of pleasure and don't even tap into the third level. And there's another three, four, and a fifth level still to get in touch with. But most of the world really travel between physical and maybe love, and maybe they're not even getting the love right. They're not getting the definition right, and they're not living it right, and they're not doing it right. So they're much more into the first level than the second level. They're tapping into the second level a little bit, or we call it the fourth level. It's fourth. We're going fifth, fourth, and then third. And so the third level...
Did you explain the counterfeit of the fourth?
Ah, the counter of the second. Sorry, thank you for pointing that. What's the counterfeit? The counterfeit of the second level is... What we call maybe lust. Lust is something which is the counterfeit to love. It looks like love. It seems like love. It's like love at first sight. It's the concept of the Greek concept of love, which is Cupid shot his arrow. I fell in love with someone just like I fell in love, so I can fall out of love. It's beyond my control. That's the counterfeit. In other words, that you see from the definition that we gave of love, that love is a commandment. We commanded. There's many, many different commandments of love in the Torah. When you commanded to love, it means that there's some action that you have to be able to do, to be committed, to be able to give, to be able to do things in order to be able to love. But if it's just random butterfly feelings because you got emotional, so that comes and goes. That seems like love at the time, but 3 weeks down the line, it's gone. And then where did that go, right? And there's a place for that, by the way. There's a positive place for that. That's something that's like the spark. That's something which it's made for another time. It's another whole shir. Obviously, Hashem puts that in the world. We can use that. We can use that to kickstart a relationship to get together on the go. But if you're going to rely on that being the be all and end all, so then there's going to be problems in marriage and everywhere else, whatever it is. So, yeah, very good, Scott, for mentioning the, that's the counterfeit of love. So we move up to the next level, the third level of pleasure is meaning. That's what Rav Noach called it. Maybe you could, I've tried to rename it over the years, maybe you could call it self-esteem. Could be self-esteem, meaning in life. What are you living for? The questions of what am I here to do, right? What am I living for? So if you're living just for love, so you'll see that you're cutting yourself short. Each one of us is an neshama. We put in this world for a reason, for a purpose. I know I always bring up Tauba because I love his Torah, and in his book Yedemuna B'Tachon, he speaks about the fact that if you're in this world, you've got a purpose in this world, you've got a meaning in this world, you've got something to do in this world that no one else in the entire world who has ever lived from the time of Adam HaRishon right up until today, who will ever live into the future, can do. No one can do your job. You've got an individual purpose in this life, in this world, that no one else in the entire world could ever do. So if you're ever thinking, you know, I wish I was Avraham Avinu, or I wish I was Moshe Rabbeinu, so then Rav Tauber says, so then who will be you? Because you have to be you, and you are necessary in this world. Because every Jew, every Yid is a part of a whole, and without you, we're a puzzle Sefer Torah. If there's one letter missing in a Sefer Torah, so then it's puzzle. If there's one missing, and each one of us is a letter in a Sefer Torah. So if we're missing, so then the whole Jewish people is puzzle. Every one of us is needed. We're here for a purpose, and we have to know that, and we have to figure out what our purpose is in life. And that's meaning, and that comes from self-esteem and confidence and knowing who you are and what you're supposed to do in this world. And so much so that doing the right thing is greater than love. Let me show you why it's greater than love. The example that Rav Nach used to give is if a person is on an aeroplane and the aeroplane gets hijacked, and someone comes to the guy and puts a gun to his head and says, what I want you to do is I want you to murder every person in this plane. Otherwise, I'm going to shoot you. But if you murder them, I'll save your life. Right? So what would you do? So of course the Torah tells us you're not allowed to murder. So it's one of the three that we have to rather die than give up our life rather than do. But what happened to my family? What happened to my wife and my children and my friends and all the love? What happened to the love? Then you can save your life and you can go back to loving them. You can say, no, kill everybody, and then you can go back to loving your family and you can have the love. No, you would give up all the love in the world to do the right thing. To do the right thing. And on that he always used to say, what's easier? Is it easier to die? Is it easier to die to do the right thing, or is it easier to live to do the right thing? So you can see from dying, and the truth of the matter is to die is much easier. It's easier to take a bullet, it's a once off. You take the bullet, you lose all the love, but you did a meaningful act, and that's it. You go to Olam, straight to Olam Haba. You died of Kiddush Hashem, right? And you go straight up. But what about living for it? So then you turn it around. So you see that from that marshal, that dying for something, but live for it. You don't have to die. You're not in that situation. You're not hijacked on a plane. So go live. What are the values of life? What is the Torah teaching me? I've got to live to grow. I'm here in this world to grow. And to grow as a person, to become, that's my meaning in life. And everyone's individual purpose, one has to figure that out. But it's all based on the principles of Torah and mitzvahs. Those are the guidelines. Those are the things which guide us and help us through our challenges in life and our struggles in life. And the struggles that we have, those are our purposes in life. And that's what we're here to overcome and to achieve and to get greatness. That's a greater level than love. What's the counterfeit to meaning? The counterfeit to meaning is looking good as opposed to being good. Because sometimes people will put on a facade and say, you know, they want to have the nice looking car and want to dress nice and that people should look at them. But that's actually a low self-esteem. That's an ego. The ego of a person, just so that everyone else thinks that I'm so great. And deep down inside, I don't even believe in myself, and I don't even believe I am so great. I don't even know who I am. I don't even know what I'm about. I don't know who I am. That's the counterfeit. It looks good. Look at that guy. I wish I was him. He's driving the Porsche. He's driving the nice fancy car. I wish I was him. Yeah, go look at his entire peccala. And you won't want his whole pekalach. He might have a Porsche, he might have money, but in the end of the day, he's divorced with three times and two kids that don't speak to him and everything else, but he's got a nice big mansion and he's got money and he's got everything else, right? It all comes together. You don't want to look good. So that's the counterfeit to meaning. The last two I'll do quickly, and we'll end on that. And that is that the next level up is kind of like a super meaning. It's called, they call it creativity, to be creative, to take it to the next level. Rav Nach used to say on the level of meaning, it would be if you're a soldier in the army and you're fighting for the Jewish people and you're a soldier in the army, but what they ask you to do is to dig the trenches. Your job is to dig the trenches for the wall. You're going to be the guy who digs. So you're just a guy with a spade and you're digging. Is there meaning in that? Of course there's meaning in that, because the trenches are needed, and they need it for a much bigger picture, for the soldiers to be able to hide in the trenches when the war's going on, so that they can fight the war and win the war. So you're doing a fantastic thing. You're doing something meaningful, but it's mundane. It seems mundane. It's meaningful. It's got meaning in it. You're doing something good, but it's mundane. So what does it mean to have the meaning in a super level, on a super level called creativity? To be creative, the meaning would be the general, to be the general of the army, to be the one who says where all the soldiers go, who decides on the strategy, to create the whole, it's being creative. Your goal is to win the war. Of course, if you lose the war, the achrayas and the consequences are humongous, right? That's the pain. That's the effort that goes in. You take on an achrayas like that, Mesiras Nefesh, to be the man who's gonna be in charge of putting out the strategy of how you're going to win the war. If it fails, you're in big, big trouble. But if it wins, you're going to be the great, unbelievable pleasure. The reward is incredible. If you win the war, and you're the one who put it out, you were the creative person, you were the one who made it happen. So that, obviously, you can switch, that's the mashal, but you can switch it into many different areas in the person's personal life. How creative you are, and where are you going to win? Where are you going to come up with great ideas to make a difference in the world? Not just be the guy digging the trenches, which is also good. That there isn't, it's meaningful to dig the trenches. And you have to dig the trenches, and it's necessary to be done. But you want to be the guy who's commanding other guys to dig the trenches. You want to be the one who's taking the lead, who's being a leader, who's taking a chorus for Klal Yisrael, who's taking a level of responsibility to make a difference. To make a difference in the world, that comes with big shoulders. A person needs big shoulders. A person needs incredible emunah and betachon. A person needs to. But you have to do it. If you're not doing it, you're missing out. You're missing out on leading, being a leader, being a person who can make a difference in the world on that level. And of course, the counterfeit to creativity. Could be something.
He's a counterfeit, this guy.
Yeah, yeah. The counterfeit to creativity would be something like. Hitler, right? Yimach Shemo. What he was trying to do, he was actually seemed quite creative in his ways of how he set up all these camps and everything to kill off the Jews and to wipe them out. But really, it's not being creative; it's actually being destructive. That looks like quite. If you get into his hashkafa and his outlook, you know, he was a clever man and he had some. He had a whole outlook and knew more about Jews than Jews knew about Jews and whatever it is. I remember, just to say, because Rav Nach once, before, a number of years before he died, he took 60 Eishet Torah rabbis to Poland to go and see the camps, and he was speaking, and they made a video of it, and I saw the video. It was called Out of the Ashes, and one of the things he said, that Rav Shach was a sandek at one of his son's prison in Eishet Torah. It was the first time he had ever visited Eishet Torah, and Rav Nach told him to please say something to the Balei Tshuva in the Beit Midrash. And Rav Shach stood up and he said, if one man had the ability to kill 6 million, then it's got to be that one man has the power to save 6 million. And that was the famous words that he said in the Beis Midrash of Eishet Torah. Rav Shach said, and Rav Nach used to say, you have to learn from Hitler, Yimach Shemo. You have to learn from his ways, all the ways that he put in, all the creative, what seems creative ways to destroy the Jews. We have to take those same koiches, those same ideas that he used, but to build as opposed to destroy. So you see, there's the counterfeit. It looks like creativity, but it's not really creativity. That's destruction. It's the opposite. So, and that was that one. And the last one, the highest level of pleasure is, of course, what the Mesilat Yesharim says, Lisaneg by Hashem, to take pleasure in being with Hashem. And of course, that's His beautiful Torah and learning and growing and helping and teaching and building and being makarev and connecting to Hashem. Rav Nachman used to learn the source, the makor that he used to say was by Avram Avinu on the third day of his bris. He was sitting at the entrance to his tent and Hashem was visiting him. He was doing bikur cholim. He was visiting and Hashem saw he was bothered because there weren't people and he wanted to help people. And so Hashem sent three angels. He sent them through. And what does Avram Avinu do? He gets up and he runs out towards them to help them. What happened to Hashem? Hashem was visiting him. He just dropped it. Just left Hashem. How could that be? He was having a prophecy. He was in prophecy. How could it be that he just left Hashem, right? So he learns kiruv out from that. He says that you see from that a person, that Hashem's nachas, Hashem gets nachas when you go out and bring your children back. When you go out and that's the greater pleasure. Of course, you need, you've got to have a balance. You've got to be able to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You've got to also grow yourself. You can't go out there if you're not growing yourself, if you're not building yourself in Torah and mitzvahs and whatever it is. But you still have a chiyuv. You have a chiyuv to take responsibility. And Hashem gets nachas. That's connection to Hashem. It's connection to Hashem for taking responsibility in the world, for helping Klal Yisrael and helping in whatever areas that it's possible to help. Wherever you are, so one can go deeper into that. The counterfeit, by the way, is idol worship, and what that is in today's world, you know, could be money and could be other things that we get so involved in and so connected to, and we rely on our bank account as opposed to Hashem. Rav Jacobson showed me a Gemara in Yuma, and I'll end on this, in Yuma yesterday. Last night I was visiting him and he showed me Daf Ayin Vav. I memorized it. Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph over there, and it speaks about the man, and it speaks about, you know, why didn't Hashem, it asked, the Gemara asked over there, why didn't Hashem just give the Jewish people a year's supply of man, and then the next year give them another year's supply of man? Why did he give them on a day-to-day basis, right? And the basic answer is so that we will turn to Avinu Shebashamayim, we'll turn to Hashem every single day, because we've got to know that's who we have to rely on. He's our Munah B'tachon. And if we gave it to Him once a year, so then we would forget about Hashem and we'd just, I've got money, yeah, you're daven, you go about your daily things and whatever it is, but you forget about your relationship, your personal relationship with Hashem. And that's the first level of pleasure. Your connection to Hashem, your personal individual relationship that you have with Hashem. Of course, all of these are connected. If you eat a bagel, if you eat a rugelach, you wash your hands on it till you die. You say, "Amotzi lechem min ha'aretz." That's when you're saying a bracha. It should be the first level of pleasure. It's connected with the physical pleasure. And that's, we uplift the physical up to the spiritual, as opposed to the non-Jewish world that say that the physical is negative. No, we bring the two together. We use all the pleasures that Hashem has given us in this world, and we have to tap into all of them. They're all there for us: physical pleasure, love, meaning, creativity, and connection to Hashem, and they're all intertwined, all connected to each other ultimately. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
Anybody got any questions, comments?
We were talking about meaning. Thank you.